Ministers in some of the country's largest churches are using sports when they talk about God. They talk in terms of baseball or football or golf. That kind of muscular vocabulary about religion first showed up in the early 20th century when Billy Sunday rose to prominence. Sunday was a pro baseball player turned tent preacher. He became the richest and most influential evangelist of his time. In 1926, during Prohibition, Billy Sunday spoke out against demon rum.
The return of the saloon would mean the overthrow of civilization in our land. It was because I didn't want our boys to die drunkards that I fought and fight. I'm going to live long enough to see America so dry you'll have to prime a man before he can spit. And I'll fight the saloon from Hawaii to Hoboken. And I'll kick it as long as I've got a foot. And I'll fight it, as punch it as long as I have a fist. I'll butt it as long as I have a head. I'll bite it as long as I have a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and it goes home to perdition.
Billy Sunday. Historian Robert F. Martin has a new book about Billy Sunday called Hero of the Heartland, and he joins us now from member station KUNI in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Dr. Martin, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
I have to ask first off, is Billy Sunday his real name?
Yes, it is, and in fact, there's a book by William McLaughlin entitled just that. Billy Sunday was his real name. William Ashley was his actual name, but he went by Billy.
William Ashley Sunday.
That's correct.
I'm looking at a picture from your book here, and it's a remarkable shot. It's a man in a suit, a preacher in a suit, but what's remarkable is he's not standing there stiffly in front of the crowd. He is crouching over and whipping off his coat as though he's getting ready for a fight.
That's pretty characteristic of his evangelism. He was probably the most acrobatic evangelist of the age. One newspaper columnist estimated that he walked a mile in every sermon and 100 miles in every evangelistic crusade.
This is in the days before great sound systems or light shows or video displays. The show is him.
No sound system at all. He had a kind of sounding board that he used to amplify his voice, but without any electronic amplification, he preached in tabernacles to thousands of worshipers.
You're talking to us from the plains of Iowa, and you're writing that Billy Sunday's life did not really start to change until he fled those plains, in a sense, and went to Chicago to become a professional baseball player.
He flees, but he never escapes. A lot of what shaped him, it comes out of his experience as a boy in Iowa, both for good and for ill. And he basically absorbs a kind of small-town Midwestern point of view and the roots of an evangelical Protestantism, both of which he uses eventually to sort of come to terms with a lot of the problems that he experiences. And it's that kind of Midwestern perspective that he takes into the baseball diamonds of big city America and to the revival tabernacles of urban America.
He was a showman as a baseball player, and then he became a sort of a baseball enthusiast who was a preacher.
That's right. Good base runner, flamboyant player, really popular with teammates and with the fans. Once he becomes a Christian, he fits an image that A.G. Spaulding, who is principal owner of the White Stockings, wants to create. Professional baseball had kind of a poor image in the late 19th century, and people like Spaulding want to improve the image of the game, and Sunday was well suited to that. He gets a lot of press coverage, not only for his play, but for his kind of squeaky clean Christian image.
This is perhaps what interests me most about Billy Sunday, is the way that when he became a full-time preacher and went out to these big revivals, he continued being so athletic in the way that he acted, as you say, and also in the way that he spoke, the metaphors that he used.
One of the things he has to do is to develop his own style, and as time passes, that style begins to be more and more flamboyant. He becomes more of a showman, and the baseball background provides a convenient entree into the hearts and minds of his audiences, because baseball really was the national pastime at the end of the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century.
Willing to mix his sports here, I'm looking here at a quote from one of his sermons. Faith is going to the goal for a touchdown. Faith will put the ball over the fence in the last half of the ninth inning. Score 3-0 against you, bases full, two men out and two strikes and three balls called on you, and on like that.
He wasn't, consistency didn't bother him much. He mixed his metaphors, but he knew what would appeal to the crowd. And he's the first evangelist for whom sports had been an integral part of his experience, and he's the first evangelist to make it really an integral part of his ministry.
Robert Martin, let's listen to a little bit more tape of Billy Sunday preaching against drinking during the Prohibition era.
Oh, America didn't need repeal. She needed repentance. She didn't need rum. She needed righteousness. We don't need Jags. We need Jesus. We don't need more grog. We need more God.
Sunday's rise to national prominence really corresponds to the rise to prominence of the Prohibition movement. His heyday as an evangelist is the same period that Prohibition is becoming nationally popular, and he does help to popularize the movement. It's hard to be sure, but he probably helped in some cases to pass Prohibition legislation at the state level. Evangelists oftentimes are able to, not consciously, but they ride a wave of popular concern. For Billy Sunday, it was Prohibition. In the early days, at least, of Billy Graham's ministry, it was communism. One of the things I argue in the book is that one of the reasons he's popular is that his ministry is, sort of resonates with a concern about a decline or possible decline in American masculinity in the early 20th century. Sunday very much wants to project the image of a strong, muscular Christianity. He didn't like the idea that Christians were perceived as somehow weak. He wanted people to understand that if you're a Christian, you can be as strong and as tough as anybody else. And that sort of is consistent with his athleticism as well. It's one of the reasons that he's so athletic and so vigorous, so vital in his ministry.
Was this a likable man?
His sermons were sometimes full of kind of vitriol. He was really kind of insulting sometimes, and yet he could turn that off and become charming. He could throw the switch, a great entertainer that way. If I met him, I might find him charming. Looking at some of the things in his sermons, I don't like him all that much sometimes. But he's fascinating. He's intriguing.
Robert F. Martin is the author of Hero of the Heartland, a biography of Billy Sunday. Dr. Martin, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thanks also to Grace College and the Billy Sunday Home and Visitors Center for providing that tape of Billy Sunday. Those institutions are both in Winona Lake, Indiana. You can see Billy Sunday in action. The pictures are on our website at npr.org.